As we stand, let's pray. Our Father, through your word and by your Spirit, help us to hear what you have to say to us about prayer, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do be seated. They say there are two things essential to any relationship. One is quality time spent together. The other is good two-way communication. Without those two, even the best of relationships will suffer. It's true of our ordinary human relationships with each other, and it's true of every Christian's relationship with the Lord God. After all, that is what Christianity is all about, isn't it? It's about having and developing a personal friendship with our living Lord, Jesus Christ. It's about getting to know him better and better every day of our lives. It's about discovering his will for our lives, his answers for our questions, his peace for our worries, his strength for our service. If we have committed ourselves to Jesus Christ, then we have committed ourselves to growing in friendship with him. In practice, that means we've committed ourselves, among other things, to prayer, to spending quality time with Christ and learning good communication with Christ. Genuine prayer is absolutely fundamental to being a healthy Christian. And yet I think it's also safe to say that every single one of us finds it difficult to keep up a good, healthy prayer life. This is one area in which many, many Christians experience an immense sense of failure and guilt. We know we ought to pray. We know we need to pray. But we know we don't pray, or not nearly enough. Sometimes we don't know where to begin or what to say. Or we don't like praying aloud or with other people. Of course, maybe it shouldn't be such a surprise that prayer can be such a struggle. After all, we know, don't we, that good relationships don't come automatically. We know that it takes years of hard work to build a really good friendship, years of self-sacrifice, years of trusting through tough times, years of patient listening and explaining. And that means there are things we can do to help ourselves. Matthew outlines some of them. So here are two things every one of us can do to help ourselves pray more effectively. And it may help you to have open Matthew chapter 6, the gospel reading, verses 5 to 15. It was on page 918, because I'm going to refer to some of those verses and it will help you to follow what I'm saying. The first of the two things we can do is quite startling in its simplicity, and yet all too often it's completely overlooked. That is, we can ask Jesus to teach us to pray. After all, that is what Jesus is doing here in Matthew 6. He's teaching his disciples how to pray. The equivalent passage in Luke's gospel tells us how it all came about. It was because one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." That's a good prayer in itself, isn't it? Lord, teach us to pray. Of course, asking Jesus to teach us requires humility. It means admitting our failure, our ignorance, our weakness. Admitting that we need help to pray, admitting in Paul's words to the Romans that we do not know how to pray as we ought. According to Paul, that is true of every single Christian, from the newest convert to the Archbishop of Canterbury. We do not know how to pray as we ought. When it comes to prayer, there are no experts. So if you're rather inclined to consider yourself no good at prayer, then recognize at least that you're not alone. you have the rest of the church with you. We should all be asking Jesus to teach us. Can you imagine what St. Mary's would be like if day by day by day, every one of us asked Jesus to teach us to pray? We can be absolutely sure he would answer. He promises that. Just glance across the page to Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Our Lord loves nothing more than to hear us pray and to ask what is according to his will. So ask him to teach you, and he will answer. In Matthew 6, his answer begins in verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. In other words, don't show off in prayer. Don't present yourself as the expert you're not. Instead, if you're praying alone, find somewhere private, verse 6. And don't babble, verse 8. Indeed, don't worry too much at all about the exact words, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Instead, verse 9, this then is how you should pray. And Jesus teaches his disciples what we know as the Lord's Prayer, which should actually be the disciples' prayer. We often say it as a set prayer, and that's fine, but Jesus intended it to be much, much more than that. He intended it to be a model, a pattern, for all our praying. So the second thing we can do to help ourselves is to follow Jesus' pattern. Verses 9 to 13. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. First notice the plurals. Give us, forgive us, lead us not into temptation, our Father. This is clearly a corporate prayer. Jesus is teaching us to be less self-centered in prayer. Following his pattern means learning to pray together, as one church, for the whole church, and for the world. Then notice the balance and the order. The prayer relates both to the spiritual world and to the physical. It includes praise and adoration, confession, supplication, that is praying for ourselves, and intercession, that is praying for other people. In the first half, the focus is on the spiritual, on God and his kingdom. And then only in the second half do we turn to pray for our own needs, both physical and spiritual. That's the right order, the right priority for all our prayers. Do most of your prayers focus on your own physical needs and circumstances, or those of your friends? Then no wonder you find it hard. Following Jesus' pattern means learning to put God's interests first and ours second. Learning to put the spiritual first and the physical second. You know the principle, it's in verse 33. Seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. We begin then with our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. That reminds us, for we often need reminding, that prayer is part of a relationship. That God is our heavenly Father who loves us. That we can be completely open with him and bring before him even our most trivial concerns. And yet that at the same time, he is the almighty sovereign Lord in heaven, whose name must be kept hallowed, holy. Following Jesus' pattern, means learning to approach the Lord God always with confident, childlike trust and deeply reverent awe. Your kingdom come. That's our highest priority, our prayer above all other prayers. For as Paul reminds the Corinthians, Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him. William Barclay once described a Christian as someone who has accepted the fact that he can never again do just what he likes, that he must forever after do what God likes. That should show in our prayers. Sadly, we all tend to pervert prayer by allowing our own plans and worries and desires to take over and fill them and rule them, so that the hallowing of God's name and the coming of his kingdom are rather pushed to one side. The main thing Jesus teaches here is that the Lord God must always have priority. His interests come first, every time. Only after that is it right and good and proper that we pray for our own needs. And the three requests in verses 11 to 13 cover all our needs, physical and spiritual, past, present, and future. There's forgiveness for past sin, daily bread for present need, victory in future trials. Daily bread implies immediate necessities rather than luxuries, future needs rather than future wants. Forgive us our debts, or better, sins, assumes that the prayer is both conscious of personal sin and repentant of it. And what's the evidence that repentance is genuine? Verse 12, forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven those who sin against us. That's a simple matter of logic. It's not a matter of proportion. It's logic. If I truly know how much I need forgiveness for my sins, I'll be quick to forgive others who may have done me wrong. But if I refuse to forgive them, then I haven't taken my own sin very seriously, and I'm not yet ready to receive forgiveness. Once upon a time, John Wesley found himself in conversation with an army officer called General Oglethorpe. All generals are called something like Oglethorpe, aren't they? The general thought forgiveness was a sign of weakness. I never forgive, he said. Wesley replied, then I hope, sir, you never sin. In order to be forgiven, we have to be forgiving, however hard that may be. And yes, sometimes forgiveness does need to be repeated again and again and again. Then this disciple's prayer ends with an eye to the future. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Temptation is more accurately trial or testing, because while God himself does not directly tempt us, he does allow us to face trials and tests. Indeed, according to Peter, various trials are his way of proving our faith and purifying our faith. Lead us not into temptation, then, means as we face the inevitable trials of life, let us not so succumb to the power of temptation that it overwhelms us. Again, it's a prayer which assumes a keen awareness of our own weakness, our own frailty. A prayer which takes that weakness to the mighty throne of God our Father and leaves it in his loving care. It trusts him to supply the strength we so desperately need and to lead us safely through every danger to glory. In effect, it's a prayer for the Holy Spirit's help to fight our spiritual battles. When Paul told the Romans, "We do not know how to pray as we ought," he added, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness. But that's another sermon. So for the moment, let's just pray. Lord Jesus, please teach each one of us to pray. For your name's sake, amen. Hymn number 200.